snow and sleet of an inch and little to no ice. Then cloudy for tomorrow, rain to showers. With snowy weather ahead, look for the latest local weather 24 hours a day on social media at CT Weather or go to our website at ctweather.com. If you'd like to speak to a meteorologist, call 203-730-2899. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
What is America to me? A house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see. All races and religions, that's America to me. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom. The church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people that's America
too. Oh boy, why wasn't I on the original recording? My voice blends so perfectly with Sinatra. People say that all the time. Gideon, they say, they take me aside, they put their hand on my shoulder, and they say, Gid, have you ever been told how Sinatra-like your voice is? It's true, it happens all the time. People I don't even know, I'm stopped on the street. They hear me talking, they say, excuse me,
bub. Do you sing in church?
No, I do not sing. Oh, wait. Yeah, well, yeah, there's hymns, Bob.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, well, duh. Yeah, I sing quietly.
So is anybody saying then to you that you sound like Sinatra?
No one ever does that, of course. I made
me
the whole thing up.
Sadly.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Okay, oh, I see. All right. Well, as long as you're making fun of yourself, too. Well, it's a dark day for the global climate change people, global warming people, because Connecticut is having a traditional classic winter. It's snowing all the time. We have snow all over the place. It's cold out. It's just a standard winter, the kind of
that
winter
we've been missing for a couple of years.
Yeah. We have warm periods. Now, remember the rule when you're talking to your global climate change people, your global warming friends. Isolated incidents, if they happen, if they favor the climate change argument. So if we have like a 60-degree day in February, that counts. That for their argument. They can say, yep, there you go. You see, 60 degrees, climate change, global warming. But if we have a big snowstorm, then they will say, no, isolated. No, it's all about world averages. Individual incidents have no, they're not significant. So remember that rule. It counts for them. They can highlight an individual incident. You may not. Keep the rules straight in your head, people. No, it's been very tough for the climate, for the warmer, global warming people. Because what happens is, here's what they do. They just stay quiet. When you have a cold Connecticut winter. And by the way, Vermont's getting slammed with snow, too. And I say slammed. Snow is money for a lot of places. Aspen is getting 30 inches all at once right about now, I believe. Let me check. Let me see Aspen. We have a lot of Greenwich people in Aspen. Why? We don't know. Why would you go there?
Yes, that is unusual. Why not, though? But still, well, it's just, out it's here so we get perfectly sheesh good places to
I know,
to
we
ski
really do. And as I say, Ludlow, Vermont, that's where I used to go for Okemo and Killington and things. Well, was it Killington or just Okemo? Anyway, Ludlow right now, 19 degrees in Vermont, and they're getting snow today. They're getting snow tomorrow. So there's snow all over the place. And let me just check on Aspen since I mentioned it. And the answer is Aspen. Oh my gosh, it's 3 degrees in Aspen, but it's okay. It feels like 8, it says.
Well, if it's dry, it will feel
and the sun too
much better.
So Aspen's gotten a ton of snow. Let's see, winter weather advisory in Aspen. These conditions are expected to last until 11 a.m. Wednesday. So they've had snow for the past few hours, I'm sure. So, again, remember, everybody, the answer is when you have lots and lots of snow, the global warming people all stay very quiet, and they wait. They wait until we have an unusually warm day, and then they wake up and say, okay, there you go. We told you, we've been telling you for 50 years that we had 12 years left. We've been telling you for 50 years. Did any of you listen? Any of you skeptics?
Well, now you know the big thing is carbon dioxide.
Which has no bearing whatsoever on the atmosphere. But yes, scientifically, it's proved again and again. But anyway, yes, CO2, go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. There are plenty of scientists that's saying, okay, we have an issue here.
No, they have computer models that suggest there may be an issue.
Yes.
It's all about
okay.
computer models.
Yes. I was trying to find a way to say that. Because the point is, but the carbon dioxide has gotten higher.
Yes.
And yet our atmosphere probably can actually even withstand higher. And the plants will love it.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. The real danger would be if carbon dioxide levels were dropping. By the way, let's see. And you guys, would you please listen to this show? I know it's a real estate show. I mean, listen to...
Have we talked real estate yet?
No, we're going to get to it. There's a lot to talk about. Rob Adams, besides being the best sports announcer in radio, and yes, I'm including all other stations, Rob Adams, you got to hear our sports guy. 4 o'clock every afternoon, doubleheader it's called. The guy's... He's, you know, I don't even care about sports.
You know how that name
he
came
makes
about.
Makes it interesting.
And of course, it's stuck now. But originally, he actually was doing the show with another guy.
Oh, so
there was two
guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I see. Ah. So Rob does a Beatles show on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Amazing.
So I know it's so cool. And this February 9th, Sunday, was the 60th anniversary of the Beatles' appearance, basically their introduction to America on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was just 2 months after the Kennedy assassination, and the country was still very much in shock and just a bad, bad feeling. And along come these four very exuberant, funny Brits, these four guys. They were not cynical. I mean, they were sarcastic, but they were just funny and nice. And without being smarmy about it, you know, there was something very likable about the Beatles. So I'm listening to this program, and Susie says, "What? You've heard all that? You were there. You heard the show. Why do you have to hear it all?" And the reason I'm attracted to it is because I liked the Beatles when I was 7 years old, but I want to hear and see exactly what the 7-year-old Gideon saw back then, and I want to see what my impression is now. I want to see as an adult. Theoretically, I'm an adult. And it is, that's part of the attraction. It's just of course, it's also interesting just to see it and hear it all again. But, you know, I don't know. They always had funny things to say. Ed Sullivan would ask a question, and John or often George would, and Paul, too. They always had something funny to say. Like Paul said, "And now we're going to do a song from one of our favorite bands, Sophie Tucker. So I look up Sophie Tucker. She was this big, huge success from 1900 to about 1930 or something like that. You know, an ancient music star, Sophie Tucker. Her slogan or her nickname back then was the Red Hot Mama. It was an early American.
Not a bad bass for some good rock and roll.
But it wasn't rock and roll.
Yeah, that she was.
She
doing.
Did kind of comedy songs, but she was very funny. You look up Sophie Tucker; she's a pretty funny lady. And so was Paul McCartney for bringing that up. He probably heard her music when he was growing up because his parents. He lived in a very musical household, so he probably was somewhat influenced by that. Was Sophie his favorite band? Quote unquote. No, he was being funny. Anyway, that's why you got to listen every Sunday morning, 9 to 10, Rob Adams' Beatles show. He comes up with stuff you never knew. You think you're a Beatles expert? You're not. Not with Rob Adams. Nope, nope, nope. Anyway, it's all very amazing. So, did anyone shed a tear when 68 Deerfield Drive was torn down? Built in 1925, it looked kind of magnificent from the street. See this front view, Bob? Look at that. That's kind of cool.
It's curved.
Right?
I can't see it.
Oh. What are you, big baby? How about that?
What? Oh, my goodness. That's a castle.
Yeah, it looks like a real castle. But inside, it was just so disappointing. It's across the street from the Greenwich Library. And I don't know. It had been just It had a 70s kitchen. Look at this kitchen, Bob. I mean, this is the kind of kitchen you'd see it in condominiums built in the 70s. It was, you know, that kind of that ivory-colored formica and then the wood trim.
I wonder if the lighting was somehow enhanced for these photos, because the lighting is what really strikes me. Everything's lit so well.
Yes, yeah.
And it would make almost any decor look very nice and very acceptable.
Yeah, and it actually was kind of a gloomy house inside.
I'll bet it was. Yeah.
But you also notice there is the lighting effect that modern cameras provide. I'm always amazed when I point the iPhone at, say, a picture outside, and it's at dusk, and it's dark outside. I look at the image on the iPhone, and it's quite bright. It actually enhances the light.
You know where I notice that is my backup camera in my car.
Yes, exactly.
I get in the car, and it's kind of dim outside. I get the headlights on, and I throw the thing in reverse, and it looks like it's still daylight in the camera.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. That's a beneficial effect, unless you're a photographer seeking a different mood.
But
if you're that clever, you can adjust the camera yourself.
Right.
So, 68 Deerfield is now a hole in the ground, and it's being replaced. The broker, I don't know whether cleverly or accidentally, the broker has changed the address to 66 Deerfield Drive. Deerfield is D-E-A-R-F-I-E-L-D, of course.
Would that indicate that they're going to move the driveway?
No.
No?
I think sometimes brokers do that so you can't look up, the rest of the agents, if they're lazy, you can't look up the history.
Oh.
They look it up and they say, that's weird. 66 Deerfield Drive has no history. But, of course, it was called 68 Deerfield Drive. You can change your street number. Yeah, people don't realize how easy it is to change your street number, unless you're hemmed in. If the tight series of addresses and small lots, and you've got 66 right next door and 70 on the other side.
Stick to the ruling that whereas one side is even
and odd,
the other
absolutely.
Odd. Yeah.
However, obviously there was plenty of leeway on 66 Deerfield or on 68. So the broker Nina, I'm told she pronounces it Nina, N-I-N-A, and that's, by the way, it's Gideon Fountain. A lot of people don't know that. No, it's not Gideon. I'm only kidding. It was a joke. Don't call me Gideon. Nina Frandsen is the builder developer. She's also got her real estate agent's license now, and she is with Berkshire Hathaway. And she has other projects online. This one, I think, is going to be successful. It's $7,995,000. It's going to be, right now it's a hole in the ground, 10,646 square feet. So that's enough for a couple and two children. if they squeeze in, they can squeeze in.
Please.
But don't have a big family because you're gonna outgrow that one.
Only one dog.
Yeah, I know. Pooh, absolutely. 10,646 square feet. So in Greenwich, that's called just enough. And 66 Deerfield Drive is going to be $7,995. Three car garage, and it's not bad looking. Bob, you can see it's the usual. You
that's
know,
what they're replacing that beautiful castle with?
I know. You know exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking inside. Again, it's your computer computer drawings. But
we'll make it look a little austere, the computer drawing does.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'd call that kind of the trend is not going away, or the style, the modern farmhouse style. That's what this one's going to be, too. Mm. But for some reason, it doesn't bother me, at least not yet. So we'll see how Nina Frandsen, F-R-A-N-D-S-O-N, Frandsen at Berkshire does. And as I say, she's got other projects on the hook, in the hopper. I don't think you should be your own broker. I mean, it's all well and good to refer and to get a piece of the commission, but I don't know. No buyer typically wants to walk around looking at a house with the owner, because the owner has, you know, too much at stake, and they have too much. They talk too much. They try to, you know, it's all sales pitch. Whereas sometimes you can get an honest reaction out of a listing agent. I know it's pretty rare. So, you want affordable Greenwich? It does still exist, and they're not dumps either. Gideon, they're going to be dumps. No, I'm telling you, they're not dumps. Now I'll give you a for instance. Right across the street from our studio. Let me look out the window and make sure they're still there. Yes, Mead Gate is still there. There's some condos. I really did look out the window. Ask Bob, did I or did I not?
Yeah, but you can't
what?
See them from here.
Shut up. Oh, you had to ruin it. Oh, nice going. Oh, man, I had them going.
Sometimes I think that's what my job is.
Bob,
I can't help it.
Right. It's the theater of the mind. I was fooling my audience a little bit, but it's true that, Bob, if it weren't for that building there, we could see Mead Gate. All right,
yeah,
thank
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
Thank you very much. I feel like Perry Mason trying to drag
if we actually step to the sidewalk, the side of our building here, you would see it there.
Yes. There you are. Yeah. There you are. Thank you so much.
Because the road curves a
Don't
little.
Try to cover, Bob. You screwed me up.
But All the road gets curved.
Now, listen. What we're talking about is 101 Lewis Street. They're called Mead Gate. Not because there was a scandal there once. It just actually they had the name before. Wait, 72? Yeah, before Watergate. So it's called Mead Gate. They took the standard old-fashioned classic Greenwich name, Mead.
Yeah.
And they stuck the word gate at the end of it. So it's called Meadgate, 101 Lewis Street. There's about, I don't know, 15 of them over there. And they keep rising in price.
Would you call that an enclave, kind of?
I don't know. Well, it's a condo complex. I don't know.
Okay.
How
All right.
And Brendan DeSimone of Compass put this baby on for $1,649,999. So just a dollar short of $1,650. And it sold for $1,620 thanks to Anthony Ardino of Ravis. Anthony does his share of sales, I will tell you. So does DeSimone, actually. So, 101 Lewis Street. And what did you get for your $1,620? Gideon, I thought you said affordable Greenwich. All right, we'll get to the cheaper ones. Hold on. But $1,620 downtown Greenwich, when people are paying $6 million right around the corner, and I do mean four buildings away, that's... That qualifies as affordable Greenwich if you're scaling down and you're not selling your $10 million house, but you're selling your $3 million house, then yeah, you want to be close to Greenwich Avenue, have a little pied-à-terre, if you will. That's French. It means toe in the sand, I think.
Oh.
1649. Do you have to look it up?
Well, is terre sand or earth?
Earth. Toe in the earth. Okay.
Yeah.
So keep your hand
like
in.
Like barefoot on the ground, so to speak. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
No?
Yes. Well, no. It's like keeping your finger in the...
Oh.
Keeping your... In
hand
interest.
In the game.
Yeah, hand in the game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Compass... famed Compass manager David Haffenreffer seems to be trying to check in here by text message. He doesn't ever call 203-661-5051, but occasionally he'll text... and he's been showing off the refreshments. Apparently the broker refreshments, if you call them that, over at Compass are very superior to most offices. They've got, I've got a picture here. They've got regular chocolate M&Ms, and these are in canisters that you pour out, so you don't have to put your germ-covered fingers into the bowl. They're canisters, and you open up the top and you pour. Peanut butter pretzels, always good. It's pub mix. Gideon, does anybody care what the food servings are at Compass? Oh, just hold on. And by the way, they got a great view across from the great view of Greenwich Avenue. It's a nice little spot. Pub mix, and then finally, peanut M&Ms, and of course, popcorn, butter popcorn. Anyway, very good. Compass doing good job. Big change. And you know, there's been a Compass stock price bounce. Yes, we'll get back to the condo in a second. The Haffenreffer bounce, he got in, it was around $2 a share, now it's $7, pushing $8. How can one Greenwich manager make the difference in the nationwide stock price? I don't know.
Hmm.
Now he's claiming he might have brought bacon to the office. Yes, okay.
So that's a big step up.
I know, from peanut M&Ms, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So Lewis Street, I just think to be... Really, obviously, our studios here are downtown Greenwich. We're right off Greenwich Avenue, right in the middle, thick of things. And these condos are just another, 300 feet further down the road. So they're very much in town. So for $1,620, you get a very nice place. And it is, how nice is it? I'll tell you how nice. It was updated, looked to me like updated in the last 20 years. So sometime in the OZs. They were built in 72. You get a one-car garage. And you get only two bedrooms, but 2.5 baths and a fireplace. They're pleasant. It reminds me of they kind of seem like ski houses. They're not huge, but again, for somebody who wants to be right in town for under $6 million, here's one for this just sold for $1,620. Probably went very quickly. Let's see, it came on the market November 12th, and had a contract by December 19th. So not instant. You had time to get to this one, and you didn't have to pay asking price. How about that? But now, you want really affordable Greenwich. I got it right here. This place is called Byram Heights, and it's on Talbot Lane. We've talked about this before. Now, is Talbot Lane right off exit 2 and therefore has plenty of sound exposure to Route 95, to I-95? Yes, but not overwhelming at all. It's far enough away that it's not overwhelming, not even close to overwhelming. So Talbot Lane, very pleasant little place. Again, small condos, and they sell in the 600s. 600. That's called free in Greenwich, by the way. That's what that means. The other day I was driving by, and I saw a pile of money, and I jumped out and saw that it was about a little under 600. So I got back in the car. I didn't even grab it because it's just, you know, it's just not worth it. But in Greenwich, seriously, something selling in the sixes is considered entry level. And these are not anything to be ashamed of. They're nice little condos. Gideon Fountain, real estate agent in Houlihan Lawrence, for instance, had one on, put it on for $510 a couple years ago, sold for $528. Thanks to Graham Gallagher of Douglas Elliman, I think. No, Elliman. Yeah, Elliman. So, but now, and then, so here are some other prices over there. That one, all right, so I got, back in 2022, I got $528. But in 2023, here's one that sold for $550, pretty much the same unit. So the prices are still rising over there. And then here's one from 2023 for $510, a little lower than mine. And July 24, this one, oh, big jump. Asked $649.5, sold for $730. How do you like that? Wow. That was good old Mike Pirelli. We've talked about Mike. Mike started his own outfit, doing just great at Mike Pirelli Real Estate. Doing just fine. David Wilk of Ravis provided that buyer. So, again, they're called Byram Heights. Their address is 33 Talbot Lane. And they're decent condos. I think this one just, did this one just come on? Let's see. February 5th. Yeah, this one just came on. There's one just came on for $630. And as I say, that's about $100 more than I was getting 2 years ago. But that's the trouble. Real estate is going up. But if you want Talbot Lane right now, unit 15, as far as I know, is still available. Was mine unit 14? Gideon Fountain, unit B. Yes, right next door. I had a feeling that was coming on. I saw moving things. That was 2 years ago. It took 2 years. But what do you get for your 630? You get three bedrooms, one and a half baths, and one fireplace. Now that, and it's got a little deck on the back, and a great big unfinished attic space, which nobody seems to be allowed to finish over there. I don't know why, but it's great, huge attic space, no windows. Strange.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely a. So, yeah, the one bathroom upstairs, it's nice to have the powder room downstairs, of course, right by the front door, but upstairs, one bath shared by three bedrooms. Yeah, you know, but again, in Greenwich for $630, it's not bad. So remember that, Byram Heights, Talbot Lane, 33 Talbot Lane. They all have the same street number and then different unit numbers. Bob, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about, of all things, real estate. Can you imagine?
Amazing.
Good morning. A winter weather advisory tonight until tomorrow afternoon with cloudy skies for today in the mid to upper 30s. Wind chills will be in the 20s early, then snow likely before 1 a.m. tonight, then snow, freezing rain, and sleet after. We become all rain after 4, with temperatures rising into the low 30s by 5, new snow and sleet of an inch and little to no ice. Then cloudy for tomorrow, rain to showers. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-504-8790. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-504-8790. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-504-8790.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
For many out on the streets with no address, when the hope dies, it's hard to be found.
You get these people off our streets now.
It's not that simple.
They're human beings. Where are they meant to go?
Homelessness could happen to anyone.
I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Their story is our story.
You never know in life why things work out the way they do.
Never give up.
No Address. Starring William Baldwin, Ashanti, and Ty Pennington. In theaters February 28th. Get your tickets at noaddressmovie.com.
This is Travis Milliman of Greenwich Library. Do you have questions about how AI might impact the job market? Join us at the Byram Schubert branch on Wednesday, February 19th, from either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a special career coach session entitled AI in Action, Job Seeking Strategies for the Digital Age. This workshop will introduce you to the basics of AI and demonstrate how it can empower your job search efforts. Once again, this iteration of the Career Coach will be at the Byram Schubert branch of the library, and registration is required. Please visit www.greenwichlibrary.org for more information, or call 203-622-7900 to talk to one of our librarians. We hope to see you soon at the library. This is Travis Milliman from Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
I know I've played it before, but I cannot get over the how perfect the beginning of L.A. Woman is by The Doors. I mean, it's got to be, if it's not, it's certainly the best driving song, if there is such a thing. But I just love the build up to that. It's just so perfect. It just matches the feeling of driving down a road, probably in a California road. And there's a, if you go on Apple Music, there's a newer version of it. Where they play a little bit of The Doors fooling around with that sound just before they switch into the final, the last take. There's a lot of that. Jim, it's amazing how professional and serious Jim Morrison sounds on some of the outtakes. You know, he's saying, hey, that's a good idea. Yeah, man, let's do that. Yeah, let's play the sound of a thunderstorm in the background. Yeah, that's good. And then he goes, okay, hey, are we serious? Is this take 10? Are we serious? Okay. It's never going to be take 10 again. Okay. All right, let's do it. And then he just, boom, launches into whatever he's singing. It's or in this case, that was Riders on the Storm. He doesn't seem like, given our knowledge of Jim Morrison, it's hard to believe that he sort of transformed himself once he got into the recording studio. He turned from this crazed, nut, drunken, drug-abusing zombie into a serious musician. By the way, if Queen can sell their music for $1.2 billion. And Bruce Springsteen, you notice I never play Springsteen. Now, why is that? There must be a reason. Springsteen's music, I think, sold for $600 million. Even David Bowie got $800. I mean, what is The Doors' music worth? And what is Ray Manzarek waiting for? I mean, I'm sure the revenues are extreme. I mean, it's got to be generating $10, $20 million a year. But I wonder, is The Doors' music book, is it worth more than Queen? I would think so, but maybe not. I don't know. Should be worth at least a bill. And the three surviving Doors, I'm sure, would enjoy it. Unless they...
Three or two.
Oh, did Densmore... Is Densmore gone? Somebody, maybe. Robbie Krieger?
I know. Rick Beato just interviewed two of them, but I thought he was saying those are the last two.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think they sold their rights. But anyway, for some reason... No, I'm sure Manzarek was no fool. He didn't sell the music rights. Usually Manzarek wrote the tune and Morrison wrote the lyrics, typically. And then they did a lot of cover songs too. Now, listen, Tony B on Greenwich Radio, WGCH, he is doing, as he says, in support of Rob Adams' Meet the Beatles. Tony B, let's see, the last Tuesday of February, Tuesday, February 25th, 9:30 a.m. That's half hour before Debbie Nigro. No. Yeah, does Debbie come out at 10? No.
No, 11.
What am I saying? 11, yeah. Oh, my show. Yeah, but anyways, he's the day before my show. So Tuesday, February 25th at 9:30 a.m., he's doing his Best of the Supremes special series. They're going to do the songs of Rodgers and Hart. Speaking of Richard Rodgers, great American songwriter, Ed Sullivan had the Beatles on, and then he brings them back. By the way, you got to watch just for – this is hilarious. The second appearance of the Beatles on Ed Sullivan's show was Ed Sullivan took his show down to Miami. I guess it was a regular thing. He would do a Florida show. And the audience, you got to look at the audience. It looks like a Shriners convention or the Rotary Club. Guys, I mean, just the most, the last people on earth you would expect. I think they thought that the Beatles were going to be like, you know, the new Elvis. I mean, everybody out there looks like an Elvis fan. Not that there's anything wrong with Elvis fans. I'm just saying, it's a bunch of guys in suits. There's some young women and girls in the front rows where they should be. For God's sake, give the Beatles something to look at. But everybody else looked like they were there for the Realtors convention. It's hilarious, and they all kind of look like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the Beatles. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. yeah, ho hum. All wearing suits and ties. It just seemed wrong. Whereas the Ed Sullivan audience in New York was just very, mostly very happy girls. And it is funny to watch the look of exuberance on those girls' faces when they're watching the Beatles. It's just very funny. It's very cute. It's cute, by golly. Now listen, Tony B, he's doing the Supremes Tuesday, February 25th, 9:30 a.m., and they're doing, and this is a great show. And the Supremes, Tony B was very wise to take on the Supremes as a subject because it's the access way. I mean, they are great, of course, in their own right. But once you start delving into the Supremes, you're just looking at the whole Motown music scene and just all the music surrounding people that were writing for the Supremes, people that copied the Supremes, people that were inspired by the Supremes. I mean, it's a very, very good topic. So watch that. Or listen to that Tony's show on Tuesday, February 25th, 9:30 a.m. Thank you very much. So, you know, people who hang around Gideon Fountain know that he likes to whistle. You'll hear me whistling away, and sometimes people ask me to not whistle, and that's fine. But
it's amazing to me how many people don't like whistling.
I know. I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked that question, Bob Small.
Because I like to whistle, too.
There you go. Yeah. But the thing is, you probably whistle and note a recognizable tune. So let's say I go around
not
whistling.
Not necessarily.
You're one of them. Okay, so I noticed this in the YMCA locker room the other day. I don't know, couldn't see the guy. But like when I'm whistling, I'll do something you probably, like let's say the theme to the Andy Griffith Show. Not that anybody remembers that. From the year 1900. No, it was 1950, sorry. All right, fine. Is that mildly annoying? But, you know, at least you know the tune. Or if you don't know the tune, at least you know it's a tune. This guy in the background, somewhere in the locker room of the YMCA, was going... He had this warbling business. It sounded like a old-fashioned tube radio catching signals from the internet or from the ethernet. I mean, oh my gosh, it was so irritating. Not only wasn't it a recognizable tune, but all that warbling. Just stop, dude. Just whistle happy birthday or something. I mean, a little warbling, that's fine. Anyway, that's how to whistle and without annoying people too much. Or you can just not whistle at all. Oh, here he goes.
I've
trying to whistle, Bob?
I've been experimenting with different ways to get sound that's a whistle.
Yes.
And I discovered with a certain shape of my mouth, I could get very, very low tones, but I couldn't whistle them very loudly.
Ah.
I can't even do it all the time.
Low, Bob.
Yeah, it's yeah,
very low. Meanwhile, the audience can't hear a thing.
Possibly not. Yeah.
So listen, this show is about real estate. It's called Your Greenwich House. This is Gideon Fountain, popular Greenwich realtor. All right, I'll take the popular back. I'll say well-known Greenwich realtor. That's certainly true. You can't deny that. Okay, I'm popular too. So Farley Street, Lower Lake Avenue. What a bargain. Where were your multifamily customers, Gideon, when you should have been selling this place? John Tibbetts, never heard of him. Connecticut Waterfront Properties. Well, I guess he made an exception because Farley Street is not waterfront, ladies and gentlemen. It's Lower Lake Avenue, kind of, sort of, well, almost sort of back.
Saw the name Lake there. He's thinking.
Yeah, I guess. Farley Street. It's a cheapy street right in the heart of a very, very expensive section of Greenwich, actually. And those do exist. Three family house.
Not that Golden Triangle thing.
No, oh, brother. Wilcox and his Golden Triangle. It is within that. Yes, Bob, actually.
Okay.
Good point.
All right.
So, number 8, Farley Street, F-A-R-L-E-Y, in Greenwich, Connecticut. A three family house. The rents were $2,500, $2,250, and $1,250, obviously, for the Unit 3, which is only, I think it's only one bedroom, or is it two? Yeah, two bedrooms. $1,250 is pretty cheap. So, obviously needs updating. It's very beat up. It's a 1910 house. The guy puts it on for $1,200,000, and it sells for $1,200,000, which is perfectly understandable. Sold by Michael Chiotti of KRG. KRG. Oh, boy. Wait, KR of Greenwich. Oh, the GR is Greenwich. Kelly... KR.
Something Realty, yeah. K Realty.
Can't think of it. Keller Williams? No, Keller. I don't know. Anyway, never heard of either of these guys, but I'm sure they're very busy. So, 8 Farley Street, as I say, three family unit for $1,200,000. That was a buy. That was a good investment. It's not, I mean, if you do the math, what is that? That sounds like about 70 something thousand a year in rent. You're paying $1,200,000. These days, with the borrowing costs, the Biden inflation rate, interest rates, which I think are going to edge down now. It's funny how the media was not concerned at all about inflation or interest rates. None of that bothered the media while Biden was president. But now suddenly, 2.5 weeks into the Trump presidency, oh, the alarm bells are ringing. Inflation's out of control. When will these interest rates come down? Oh, this Trump guy, who voted for him? Well, actually, 77 million Americans voted for him, to be exact. Oh, brother. But anyway, that's what you have to deal with our little friends in the media. Wait, how many people voted for Trump? It was 77,302,580 Americans. So I noticed a smear, Trump smear in the Greenwich Times yesterday, and it said, to an open letter to Trump supporters. And I thought, you know, when 77 million plus Americans vote for somebody, do you want to still refer to the letter to Trump support? Couldn't you just say, note to American voters? How about that? You know, fine, be anti-Trump, criticize him all you want. But, oh, man. Oh, and Elon Musk, richest guy in the world, he's exposing the astounding amount, billions of dollars worth of fraud that has been fully tolerated by both sides of the political aisle for decades, for centuries. Billions of dollars pouring out of the Treasury. Doesn't matter to them at one bit. All these checks go out with the records show no addressee, you know, no one being identified who's receiving the money, and no purpose is written down. And Elon Musk, who's being viciously attacked, oh, this rich guy is destroying the American economy. He's just exposing fraud. Can we do that how about a month? For one more month, we have expose all the fraud. I guess we'll have to keep doing it because there's six activist judges who are trying to thwart this effort. But at least expose it. Show it. Bring it to light. That's all I ask. Anyway, so somebody, you guys, all of us should have been trying to sell. Maybe we were. We're trying to sell 8 Farley Street. That was a good deal. $1,200,000 for three family unit. Boy. And then 16 Weaver Street. See, the chart is, you know, this was a Weaver Street. The beginning of Weaver Street is got some nice cheapies. And this was a cheapie for Greenwich. 16 Weaver Street, Greenwich, Connecticut. Came on for $1,099,000 and sold very quickly for $1,130,000. So not way over. It was listed by Kelly Finn of Coldwell Banker, and good old Sue Frano of Coldwell Banker brought the buyer and won the bidding war. How quickly did this go? Let's see. The contract was signed January 3rd of this year, and it came on December 3rd. So not that quick, but they still got a bidding war. And this is, you know, cute little Cape Cod. Nothing special about this place. Needs updating, obviously. Nice little backyard. A very humble house. But what do you want when the taxes are $6,478 per year? I mean, that's good. It says it has a dipping plunge pool, otherwise known as above-ground pool. A dipping plunge pool. It's an above-ground pool. They bought it at Caldor's. For God's sake, before anyone knows what
Caldor's. What's Caldor's?
I know, exactly. Some ancient discount store from way back when. Mm. Yeah, so you can get rid of the above-ground pool. That is no longer necessary. I mean, you know, for little kids have no problem with above-ground pools. They're just considered unsightly and sort of sad looking for two adults, but kids, they love them. So 16 Weaver Street goes in a bidding war, not still affordable though, I think. $1,130,000, and you got a brick Cape Cod house with four bedrooms, 2.5 baths, no fireplace, but very low taxes. And Weaver Street, you know, it's on the west side of town, but not that far over. So I consider that a good deal. 20 Church Street, man, oh man, Town and Country Properties, man. This place, talk about going up. When I got into the business, these dowdy, tired old brick units, this is a six-story brick building. I'm sure at the time they proposed it, a lot of people thought, oh, for God, why are we building these skyscrapers in Greenwich? It's ridiculous. Now it kind of fits in. I suppose that's what current developers are trying to do, the same thing. They're saying, look, we have some brick apartment buildings already with six floors. Why not a few more? Because we don't want 1,000 more cars in Greenwich. That's why. Anyway, Lynn Lavery. Wait, let me check my contact list. How does Lynn pronounce it? Is it a long A or a short A? I know everybody wonders about this, so I'll solve it right now. I made a note in my little contacts. Here we go. Lavery. Okay. Not Lavery. Even though there's that damned E, which makes you think it would be Lavery. L-A-V-E-R-Y. So Lynn Lavery of Coldwell Banker brings this baby on for $1,995,000. That's funny. He came on for initially it came on for $199,500. That's a typo and they fixed it. So $1,995,000. This is that a couple of years ago that would have been considered an outrageous stretch. There's no way you're getting that amount, Lynn. No way. But now, very, very, very possible. Built in 1918, this building, 20 Church Street, Town and Country, 1918. Wow, that's pretty good. So it built like a substantial latrine, if you know what I mean, an outhouse. I'm trying to clean up the language. Brick outhouse. So, you pound on the walls. They're cement. I mean, this is a very, very solid building. I think it's seven floors. I really do. If it's not seven, it's certainly six. But it's got a lower level, and it's got covered parking, underground parking. Very forward-thinking for 1918, I must say. This one was, according to Lynn, originally called the Penthouse, A61. That's top floor. The crown jewel of Town and Country building, of the Town and Country building. Corner unit, top floor, one of the largest units in the building with panoramic views in three directions. Long Island Sound to the south, the lights of Stamford to the east. Oh, boy, the lights of Stamford. Mm. And New York City to the west. Gosh, this stunning unit with 1,854 square feet is offered for the first time in two generations and won't last long. In 2024, the building was completely renovated. That's nice, Lynn, but what about the unit? I don't think it was. New elevators, totally updated upper hallways, special opportunity to live in downtown Greenwich. You can walk to the YMCA and work out with Gideon Fountain if you time it right. I didn't know why she wrote that. That's interesting. Unique opportunity. Capital, let's see. What are the cons? The taxes are taxes are just $57.38 a year, but you also have common charges of $13.97. It's pretty affordable, and it is very much downtown Greenwich. So 20 Church Street, Greenwich, Connecticut, Unit A61 for $1,995,000. Let's see how Lynn does with that baby. Now, I had a troubling conversation with a broker the other day. She called about one of my listings, and she said, actually, there are two troubling conversations. One broker offered, let's say the listing, I'll disguise it a little bit. Let's say it's on for $1,005,000. So this broker offers me $1,003,000. And she says, I've got the comps to show. I showed my people the comparables, and that's what it's worth. It's worth $1.3 million. And I said, okay, that's nice, but I have an offer of, you know, just below the asking price of $1.5 million. And she, instead of saying, oh, for God's sakes, I'm so sorry, okay, forget it, she argues with me. For the next 5 minutes, I'm still conversing with – she's a very nice broker, but she's arguing with me to say, well, we'll be a backup. And I said, no, I have – I'm trying to be nice, not being sarcastic, even though, oh, God, I'm dying to be sarcastic. I said, no, Mrs. Broker, but I – you see, we have other offers that are way above yours. They're not even – still not acceptable because we have one that's close to ask. But you're not even in fifth place. Okay, well, I'm going to send you proof of I don't want your proof of – and then she sends the proof of funds letter. I don't care if they have proof of funds. But I've got the comparables, she said again. And then another broker calls me up, and she says, would your people take, a million for that play? Or a million – what, again, $1.3 million or something like that. I said, no, they're not going to take $1.3 million. She goes, well, that's what it's worth. Okay. And I've had this conversation with buyers, too. They'll say, I can prove that such and such a building is worth – $4 million. And I say, okay, well, the sellers want five. What are you going to want to do about it? Do you want to overpay? Those are the worst things you can ever say, those two words, overpay. Is that one word? The worst word you can say to a buyer, overpay. And yet, sometimes that's what you do, you guys. In every single real estate opportunity, everything that comes on the market, there's a bunch of people. Let's say you're asking $1 million. There'll be a whole crowd of people willing to pay $900. I mean, dozens will pay $900. And then there's a bunch that will pay $950, one or two at $975, and then there's one person quite often that just will pay the asking price. And they're the ones who get it. Oh, did they overpay? Yes, of course they did. And you know, the appraiser goes, well, look, all these other people. Clearly what it's really worth is nine. And but somebody paid $1 million. Oh, it's so frustrating. I don't want to see your comparables proving that my listing is worth less than what somebody else is offering. It's just so, oh, it's so dopey.
Only time you might is if you had no other offers.
If you have no other offers and you're a listing agent, and you, then yes, of course, it's a whole different game.
Yes.
Then you're overpriced.
Yeah.
But if you're getting offers at your asking price, mm-hmm, or around that, then you've got it right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to change about it. Another one that came up, the broker was telling me that she didn't want her son to overpay. I don't want him. This is his first house. I don't want him overpaying. So she was going to buy 24 Valley Road, or he was going to buy it. But she advised him. She's a broker, too. And she said, nope, it's not worth $1.5 million. So it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's a lovely house. It really is. It's a cute little farmhouse, a real actual farmhouse, not like the modern farmhouses we're doing now with black trimmed windows. Barf. So instead, no, this is 24 Valley Road, early on part of Valley Road, very close to Coscob Elementary School. Nice spot. Listed by Melody Colucci of Coldwell Banker. And so I think she even had an accepted offer, and then she withdrew the offer. Because she didn't want her son overpaying. Nope, not for that house, she said. So within minutes, hours, it had another deal. Now it's under contingent contract. So the son's, you know, at some point, you just have to over. If you feel like, even if you think you're overpaying, who cares? Maria Crowley put together a deal in the low $5 million for the best penthouse at the buildings called the Modern, which are next door to Town Hall. And this penthouse one comes on the market, top floor with a whole, it controls the half of the roof, and really nice up there. It's got a whole deck and seating area and barbecue grill, and it's on the quieter side, so it's overlooking. I mean, you still get water views towards the Sound, but you also are on the Town Hall side and not on the Sound View Drive, noisy hillside side. So, and she said to her customer said, I think I'm overpaying for this. And Maria said, yeah, you probably are. And the guy goes, okay, well, I'm not going to wait a year for the next one to come on. So he got it. Oh, you overpaid. Okay. And, you know, when the market crashes, that's one other thing this broker told me. Well, the market's going to crash. There have been three crashes in my career. I said, I know what you mean. Absolutely. The market crashes, or at least it eases up. And then people feel like, oh man, well, you know, we paid $4 million for this house. Now it's worth $3 million. Okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to rent at exorbitant rents for the next 3 or 4 years, waiting for the break? I don't know. I don't know what to suggest. You want to buy a house? Buy a house. Pay the prices that we're paying now.
Maybe the other brokers think that you're going to say, oh, well, you're a good buddy. I'll lower the price for you.
Yes. No, you don't do that for your good buddies. You're representing the seller. The seller is king if you're the listing agent. And that's why you buyers, when you work with a listing agent, you're not getting the unvarnished from them, because they owe an allegiance, rightfully so, to the person who signed them up, the seller. So you think sometimes I think the idea is that you're going to get the listing agent. You say, well, come on, if I buy it from you, you can cut the commission. Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It depends. Not always. Now, speaking of bidding wars, Gideon Fountain, popular broker at Houlihan Lawrence.
He's got a radio show, too.
Yes, he's got his own radio show. You've heard of B movies? He made some C movies. He made C movies. And nobody did see them.
As in S-E-E?
No. Yeah, exactly. No one did see them. So that's hence the real estate career, the burgeoning real estate career. So 101 and 103 Old Mill Road, we got it. It had been on for quite a while. Started at 7-9. That didn't happen. And finally got down to 6-5. And still nothing was happening. And then at the end, we had five active bidders. The highest bid went well over asking price, several hundred thousand above the asking price, but it came in a little bit too late, so we didn't get quite asking price. But it's fascinating how that works. Nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it. Somebody wanted it. Everybody wanted it. Just remarkable. Without any broker orchestration, by the way. It's just
like
a groundswell.
Somebody needs to write a song for that phrase. Because it sounds like it should be somehow.
Well, you know who coined it? Real estate attorney Joel Kay, who does write songs. And he has a company, his own little songwriting company called Kay Songs.
Oh.
The Kay Songs keep rolling along. He's always got a joke in there.
Bump.
So, Julie Church, popular broker at Houlihan Lawrence. This is not a plug for a Houlihan. It's just happening. This one caught my attention. Stormy Circle Drive. Stormy Circle is so close to Route 95 that it might as well be called Noisy Circle, but it's called Stormy Circle, fine. And it's off of Byram Shore Road. Very nice spot. And if you look from the right direction, this house, you know, it's not far from the water, and it looks pretty good, but it is very close to Route 95 or I-95. She brings an offer 2195 and now has a deal. I know it closed. It closed for $1,000,009. So $2,195 and sold for 1.9 by Barbara Wells of Houlihan Lawrence. How do you like it? An in-house deal. Yes, close to the thruway, but it is a great big contemporary with 4,954 square feet. Yes, not bad. Again, for $2 million, thruway schmooway, I think is what the seller said. Three-car garage. Did it have a pool? No pool. Well, you don't want to sit out on the pool listening to all
that. Not even one of those plunging things?
Yeah, no, not even one of those. All right, you guys, thanks for suffering through another show. We'll be back next week. Don't forget Tony B next February 25th. Mm-hmm. And, of course, on Sunday, Rob Adams Show. Coming up, Debbie Nigro.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
The Senate is gearing up for a confirmation vote on President Trump's nominee for National Intelligence Director. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Republican Chuck Grassley says Tulsi Gabbard is well qualified.
Gabbard's job will be simply to make sure that the intelligence community is able to provide the best, unbiased information to help President Trump make the proper decision.
The confirmation vote was originally planned for yesterday, but a snowstorm upended the schedule. The vote had to be moved to today. President Trump is vowing to abide by any court rulings that might block his administration's actions.
After just 3 weeks in office, the president is facing a long list of legal challenges to his executive orders. He's unhappy that federal judges have temporarily blocked his agenda, but says he will follow judicial decisions.
Well, I always abide by the courts, and then I'll have to appeal it. But then what he's done is he slowed down the momentum.
Last weekend, however, Vice President Vance claimed that judges aren't allowed to control the president's legitimate power. Greg Clugston, Washington.
When it comes to the work of DOGE, a panel charged.